But a Spider-Man one was actually really funny.
Good. I hope it scared the shit out of some people for Halloween. My goal, Cecil, was for people to listen to that episode and then feel real scared about the place that they're fucking locked in for the next 9 months.
Turned out good. I thought it was really funny. There's some good that I also liked the skits, and it turned out funny too. So they were good. So a couple of funny things happened. So good stuff.
So I like the holiday themes. I got a good one lined up for Christmas too. So I know
you want to do one for Christmas. I know that for sure. So
we should do Thanksgiving. We should do the story of Thanksgiving, because that's a fucked up story. Like the actual story of Thanksgiving, that's a fucked up story. Yeah. I wonder who goes. We should look at the schedule for that. Thanksgiving.
I wonder. I keep falling into the battles. I got to stop. I got to get away from the battles. But I love them so much. I just am so excited.
Battles
about
are
them.
Good,
it's
man.
It's hard not to do them, but I feel like the best ones we do are those quirky stories nobody's ever heard of. I feel like those are always the best citation needed.
They're good.
That are super quirky and goofy, and ones you think, I never knew that somebody did that or whatever. So
for Christmas, you know what else would be good is the Christmas Day Truce.
Yeah, Christmas Day Truce would be very good.
That would be a good episode. Yeah, I don't know how much juice is in it, you know? I don't know how much meat there is to that story.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. Cuz that one it might be real quick. I know that you know that it's a footnote in a lot of different people's talks about World War I. There's a lot of talk, but it's always a footnote and it's never really a full story. So so I'd be interested to see how much you can get out of that. Excuse me. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Hello. Welcome. Hey, Cecil, this is our last stream before the main event.
Before the main event, next Tuesday. It's going to be us. We're going to be on all night, so come check us out for sure.
Before the blue versus gray. Here we go.
Yeah, for sure.
Civil War time, baby. Yeah.
This is great.
I can't wait to look out in my backyard and just have like a fucking pyramid of like sawed off limbs just like hanging out in the backyard. Oh, yeah, baby.
Good
America.
Shit. Good
Fuck
shit,
us.
Baby. Who doesn't want that? Come on. Yeah, there is definitely a feeling that I have that is different from other elections coming up for sure. I would like to finish the goose game. We're going to try to do some goose game stuff eventually, but Ian wants me to play scary games. So we're going to see if we can play a scary game too. And we also have to figure out a day to play Among Us, because I know that we would like Tom. I think
I'll play
really
Among Us.
It'd be a lot of fun. So
yeah, I don't know. I literally don't know anything about it except for that AOC played it. I don't even know what it is.
It's essentially a bluff game. You just run around and you do these menial little tasks, and then there's killers that know they're the killers as before when the game starts, and then they try to kill people. They try to get people alone and kill them, and then they call these sort of meetings, and then basically we're all on a Discord server so we can all talk to each other, and then we'll say things like, I saw Tom coming out of a vent, and Tom was doing this thing, and he was acting all weird, and I think Tom's the killer, and so then we decide, and we either vote you off or not. And then, so it's essentially a bluff game.
How many people would play at a time?
Like 10, you have to play 10 at a time. 10
at a
time. So we could either, tap some patrons, or we can see if we can get another couple podcasts to join us. And so that might be fun. We get a whole podcasting thing going on.
A podcast among us?
A podcast among us. We could, it'll be fun. So maybe we'll see. I know Ian's got to be super amazing at it, because I'm sure he does that on his stream all the time.
So do you buy the game? Like, what do you, do you have to buy it?
Yeah, it's like $5. It's $5.
Fine. I'm putting it on the company card.
Yeah.
$5.
Tom doesn't know what werewolf or mafia are, because Tom probably never played around in those message boards, but it's like a mafia, the game mafia for those boards. So am I all choppy to you? Do I look choppy?
No, you look good.
Okay. All right. Cause on my computer right now, I look very choppy. So I'll just,
brother, you look sharp, man.
All right.
Nice and
sounds
smooth.
Sounds good. So tonight what we want to do is we want to talk about our predictions for this upcoming Tuesday. We would love for you guys to join us. Tuesday night, we will be doing a live stream all night long. Tom and I are going to be in studio together, and we're going to be having guests that night. So we're going to have Dan and Jordan from Knowledge Fight, and then we're also going to have Heath Enright, and we're also seeing if we could get a couple more guests. Maybe if we can get don't do that. People are going to be so mean now. Thanks. Yeah, appreciate
it's
it.
Terrible.
That's great. It's going to be a great self-esteem thing I get to do now.
Cecil, read I these think comments you look good.
Later. I get to read these comments later. It was hilarious. We were talking the other night. I was talking the other night to my wife, and my wife was saying, she was telling me that there's like a new thing that women have another body. I don't know what you would call it, but another sort of body fixation thing that people do now, where women, I guess, if they have, they wear a tank top and there's a little extra and it puffs out, that's sort of bad now. And then people see that as, oh my gosh, that's the new
thigh gap or whatever.
It's the new cellulite or whatever my wife was saying.
Okay.
And she said, every single thing on a woman's body is you know, always picked apart. And I agreed with her. I said, yeah, it's awful. And she said, men never have to deal with this. And I said, the other night on the stream, somebody said I look like the bloated corpse of Jim Morrison. So let's not go there. Let's not go there. Yeah, it sucks for women. I agree wholeheartedly. But yeah, it's also sometimes not great for us too. Sometimes people are so mean to us on the street. They are the meanest you could ever. Yeah. Armpit fat. Yeah, fuck it, man. It's fucking your body. You know, there's all this weird shit we do with bodies. There's no perfect body out there, man. What the fuck is wrong with people? It's so
there
weird.
Are. That is not true. There are perfect bodies. If you Photoshop and airbrush them, they can look.
I'll tell you.
Ideal.
I'll tell you. Yeah, or you spend 12 hours a day working out and you have a personal chef. I bet you could look fucking baller.
Yep.
You know, the rest of us, we have to once in a while make do with McDonald's and we drink beer and we don't look great. So that's how it works. Somebody said women's insecurities seem more institutionalized. I think that there are a lot more. I'm not saying, and don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot more pressure certainly on women to look better than men. And I think that's obvious. I mean, I'm not trying to compare it in that sense. So the beauty
standard for men is much, much wider
and
much more forgiving than the beauty standard for women. And like, the thing is too, like men get a longer go at it. Like men, you know, like there's like a silver fox or whatever. And like, you know, women get like 7 minutes culturally where they're like allowed to look good, and then like it's all downhill from there, because like America's the worst. Like all of us are just I don't even know it's America, we're just like all the worst. Cecil, you were not a Always Sunny fan, right?
I've only watched like a couple of the first episodes because I haven't gotten into this first season, and it doesn't feel like they hit their stride yet. And so it was hard to get through the first few episodes until they sort of found their characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I figure if I were to get to the second season, it would really pick up and I wouldn't want to drop it. But I haven't got to that point yet, so I have not done it yet.
Yeah.
But
so
long answer, no.
Okay. So there's a character in it, and if you've watched the show, you'll know there's a character in it that like he just for some reason he just thinks it would be funny. One season he shows up and he's fat, and he just thought it would be funny and he just did it. And then they wrote the scripts that whole season where he's just fat. And then the season break happens, and the next season he comes back, and Cecil, he's absolutely fucking jacked. He's fucking ripped. Yeah. And then they write this whole script like, what the fuck, Mac? You're like ripped. Like yesterday you worked. It's really funny. And I mean, he is absolutely fucking crazy ripped. So they interview him and they ask him, like, to your point before, like, what did you do, right? So he has an interview with Men's Health magazine, and he says, this is great, I'm gonna break it down for you because it's actually quite simple and anybody can do this. Anybody on the planet can do this. First things first, if you have a job, like a 9-to-5 job, quit it. Do you like food?
Don't
forget about food, because you're never gonna enjoy anything you eat ever again. Alcohol, sorry, that's out now. So what you need to do, you have a chef, right? Like your own personal chef. Make sure that chef makes you a lot of chicken breast, and make sure you keep your caloric intake at a very certain level. Look, it's not even that hard. All you need to do is lift weights 6 days a week, stop drinking alcohol, don't eat anything after 7 p.m., don't ever eat any carbs or sugar at all. In fact, just don't eat anything you ever like. Get the personal trainer from Magic Mike, sleep 9 hours a night, run 3 miles a day, and have a studio pay for the whole thing over a 6-month span.
Yep. I'll tell you, it's so funny. I'll go into my gym and I'll work out with my trainer on occasion. I'll walk in and I'm that guy is so fucking jacked and so ripped. It's like, yeah, he's working out 7 times a day with all right. the people that are in the gym. And he literally only, I think, eats a shake a day. And so that's what he had. That's your life.
Right.
That's what you look like.
Like, if you ran the gym and worked out at the gym and, like, trained people all day, your sure. job is to be fit. So yeah, you're going to do your job.
Absolutely.
But, like, my
Absolutely.
Job is to not do that. And I'm just like, yeah. I'm lucky to squeeze in 3 days a week when my back lets me do it.
Well, and then there's also just the fact of everything in the world sucks now, and I'd like to eat comfort food once in a while.
Yeah, no shit. No,
everything's the worst, and you just think, God, I could fucking mouse some fucking bolognese right now.
Dude, all right. And here's the thing, too. We're going into, like, COVID surge plus comfort food season.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, yeah, braise season? Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh.
What is your favorite comfort food? Favorite comfort food.
I love making a big bowl of basically pasta and meatballs and sausage.
Sunday dinner.
That type of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Pot pie, man.
Yeah?
I fucking love good chicken
pot pie. Is fucking baller.
It's
pot pie
so
is awesome.
Good.
Yeah, pot
biscuits
pie is awesome.
And gravy too. Like, it's kind of the same shit. Like, it's just
biscuits,
like,
and gravy. Yeah, yeah, that's
oh
really
my
good.
God.
Yeah.
Like, there's just something like, it's like you eat it and you just are like, okay, my day is ruined. I ate that food and my day is both at its peak and absolutely ruined. Nothing good, nothing not hedonistic will happen today.
I also absolutely love just a braised pork shoulder with sauerkraut is just. Through the, it's just amazing. That's such a great comfort food. If you do a good braise, you know. So.
Do you do your braising now in the Instant Pot? Because a pork shoulder in the Instant Pot is amazing.
It's really good. It's really good. Instant Pot's such a great investment. I have it's such a great, it's such an awesome way to cook. It's really amazing. But yeah, trying to watch what you eat while you're in this sort of constant state of depression is also difficult.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
So it's not a great time. It's not we ain't doing so good. All right. Speaking of depression, let's talk about the election, Tom, because that's why we're here.
Yep.
5:38. We have Tom and I did some projections today, and so we want to talk a little bit about them. Tom and I think this is good news. We think it's good news. I said as a joke, depression. But I kind of think it's good news. Ian, if you could share my screen here, I want to talk about the first map I have. And so the first map I have here, I made this on 5:38. And what we have right now, this is a filled out map. You can there's a thing on the side. You can go in and essentially select states to be blue or red, or you could leave them as toss-ups as they are. And so what I did was I went through and I looked at every single one of the races where Trump has a 10% chance or less of winning. So we're talking about many states where Trump has a 10% chance or less of actually winning. And that's well beyond the margin of error, right? So the margin of error states are the ones that you're looking at that are, 35%, 40%. Those ones are margin of error states. Those are where the race is close enough where they really can't call it as well. The ones that I have listed here are either less than 1%. They get up to about 7 or 8, and there's one 10%er in there. All the rest of them are all really, really heavily favored toward Biden. I went through and I basically created a map for that. And if you look, if you take all the ones where he has 10% chance or less, Biden has a 99% chance of winning if he wins all those states. In order for Trump to win, he would have to sweep every single one of the swing states. Every single one of the swing states. And I will point out, too, that New Hampshire isn't even filled in here. I did not fill in New Hampshire because it's above that 10%. It's slightly above it. I think it's at 13%. But I didn't put it in here. And also Pennsylvania is at 15 or 16, I think. I did not put that in here either. So with nothing added, with these are no long stretches, no guesses, if he can flip this battleground state. This is just straight up. If you add this shit up, it comes to 255. So that's nothing added. That's my first map.
Right. Okay.
So my second map, This one is my worst case scenario map. Okay. This is the one where I think is, you know, a conservative sort of worst case scenario. This is Biden winning 279 to 258. This has Florida, Iowa, Ohio, Texas, and Arizona all going to Trump.
North Carolina, too.
Georgia, too.
Yep.
And the only one that goes to him is Pennsylvania. Only
this is my worst case scenario Biden win. Yep.
Only one of the swing states goes to him, and he wins.
And he wins.
Now, a better one that I think is more likely is this map here. This map here has Florida and Arizona as well as North Carolina going. You're looking at 334 with something like this. Pretty big, large margin. And then my dream map, of course, is this one, which is 390. Which is 394.
That's giving him most of the. That's giving him the whole swing situation.
Essentially, giving him most of the swing states. All the swing states go to him, and so that's the dream map. I would love so much love to see this map the night of. This would be just num 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 num. Oh, I just eat this up the night of. But I don't know that this is that's
so.
That's
what
the
do you
case.
Think? What does your gut tell you? Like
my gut is this one. My gut is this one. My gut is that there's going to be some that we would not expect to go that are even leaning towards Biden that will go to Trump. There's just that margin of error and that weird Trump voter that is just within the margin of error that is going to flip to Trump, and we just got to deal with it. I don't think it's going to be one of those landslide ones, but I think it'll be either one of these, right? You know, a couple of extra states here and there, but I think mostly they're going to split those states that, you know, I think this one's a good example of that, where it splits the states where, you know, Florida goes to Biden, but Trump gets Ohio, Trump gets Iowa, you know, Arizona goes to Biden, Pennsylvania goes to Biden. So I think that there's going to be sort of a split between the two. But I don't think it's going to be the dream scenario that I would like really hope to see, which is a whole bunch of states go to Biden and Trump gets very few.
Yeah, I think I agree very, like, if you take your last map here, your 334 map, take that, turn Florida red for me, because I don't think we're going to get Florida.
Okay.
And this is what I think is going to happen. This is the Tom prediction. I think this is it.
Yeah.
I think it's 305. That's the number that I've had in my head. I think this could happen. I don't have any faith in Iowa or Ohio. I've been to both Iowa and Ohio. The best
they're
thing about
right
is
now,
leaving or garbage.
They're both right now coin tosses. They're both coin tosses. So as it stands right now, they're really not. They're not anything.
I'm not
that
counting
you can
them
see
in.
And think. Yeah, it's hard.
I'm not counting Georgia in. And Texas is a fucking long shot. Like,
yeah,
but
Texas
you got to give
huge,
the whole
Texas
Eastern
is a huge long slot. Yeah.
But you know, I've got North Carolina's demographic has shifted so much, that I think North Carolina, like that, there's some strong feeling that that's going to go blue. There's good reason to think that's going to go blue. Arizona, I think that's blue, and I think the rest of those garbage fucking parts of the country. Florida, we're not lucky enough to get Florida. Like it should. Florida should be fucking blue, but we're not fucking lucky enough for that to happen. People are fucking idiots.
This. I've been looking at some of the polling data, and Biden is polling so well with people above 65. He's polling really, really well. What's bringing him down is, I guess, the Cuban population in Florida is very conservative. And so they're bringing him down. But the Puerto Rican population, so the Latino vote is big down there. It's a big chunk of votes. And so those different types of Latino voters, they vote along a spectrum. They're not all, you know, this sort of unity.
It's not
vote.
A monolith.
They don't all,
yeah.
Yeah. They don't all vote for one person. And so most of the Cubans are going to be voting for. I'm not going to say most, but I mean, I guess you could say most because it's a majority, but a majority of them will vote for Trump. A majority of the Puerto Ricans that are there are going to vote for Biden. And then there's toss-ups based everywhere else. But the older vote is the one that really shocked me. Trump is losing that older vote, and he's losing it by a huge, wide margin. He is 17-point swing from Hillary.
That's massive.
Huge.
And that... Given the demographic of Florida, that could flip Florida. What's so interesting about this is how like how much this is going to be different that because of COVID and so many other things, different than every other election we've ever had. You know, it used to be that, you know, the amount of early voting, whether that early voting was in person early or absentee, was relatively small compared to the general turnout. Now we're looking at massive, unprecedented numbers of early voting, shit we've never seen before. So you and I were talking before the show, what does that mean for election night in terms of the overall turnout? Will the overall turnout be, if we're 60% of the way there, will only 40% more people turn up? Will we have essentially the same turnout, just, you know, spread out, more dispersed? Or will we have a massive, massive turnout on the on Tuesday the 3rd? My feeling very strongly is we're going to have massive turnout. And massive turnout is good for Democrats. It's why the Republicans have always fought voter registration drives.
Absolutely.
They've always fought. They don't want big turnout. They don't want America to vote. If we get unprecedented turnout, we get a blue election.
Yeah.
We just do.
Well,
because Trump's base isn't that big.
I think one of the first things that the Democrats have to do, if they can flip the Senate, which it's likely now, it's not necessarily in the bag, but it's likely that they can flip the Senate and they will have the House. That's very, very likely that they'll have the House. And so they might have all three branches of government, right? You know, fingers crossed, whatever you got to do to knock on wood, whatever we do. But the thing that I would love to see them do as the first agenda item is to make Election Day a national holiday.
Yeah.
Start making mail-in voting a national thing that is allowed all across the country. Put in rules that are in place by law for mail-in voting and for absentee ballots. I wouldn't even hate if they made voting compulsory like they have it down in Australia. I would love to see something like that where they say voting's fucking compulsory. Sorry, we're just going to do this thing where we make sure that everybody has to vote. I want to see them. What they need to do is they need to come in and say, okay, we're just going to make it so everybody can vote. Everybody has access to it. We're going to change all the rules to make it so it's so much easier. Because, man, all these stories of these people who are fucking spending hours and hours and hours in line trying
crazy
to vote. That's fucking voter suppression, man.
It is.
People give up. People fucking give up. They leave. They can't spend all that time. Think if you were working 9 to 5 and you didn't have an opportunity to take a day off or an hour off or whatever, you wouldn't spend. You can't spend your time. You just can't get there and spend your time voting like that. So we need to make it easier. We need to make it a much more streamlined process, an easier process. And we need to figure out a way to make sure that it's secure. And I think that they need to come in with that mindset to really just try to change how we create, how we try to perpetuate this democracy. Because right now it's really in danger.
Yeah. And this is an opportunity. If the Democrats do take the House, the Senate, and the White House, I mean, not take the House, they have the House. If they hold the House, which they will, if they take the Senate, if they get the White House, they can secure a blue run for generations. I mean, honestly, for a generation or longer, because the country is mostly blue. It has been now for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Bush v. Gore. Gore won. He won the popular vote. Most people are blue.
Yeah.
Most people. If we just do the things that you were talking about to make it easier for people to vote, Republicans will never win again. They'll never win. They'll just lose every time. The reason they win is because they fucking cheat.
Yeah.
They cheat. Well, they're not really listening to the will of the people.
Yep. Hey, Ian, there's a couple people in here talking about how long they stood out here for vote. Isaac says he stood out for 9 hours in line to vote. He said,
holy fuck.
Nine hours. That's a whole day. That's over a whole day of work.
Holy
I mean, you know,
shit.
like this
so
is
spoiled.
Unreal. The level of
wow.
You know, Tom said he took him 6 minutes.
Six minutes to park the car, vote, and get back in the car.
Now, when I voted last time, it took me over an hour and a half to wait. But an hour and a half is nothing in comparison to nine hours.
Nine hours, man.
Would you give up if 9 hours?
I would not give up because it's really important to me, so I would not give up. But, well, let me rephrase that, Cecil. In 2016, when my back was more fucked up, I might not have physically been able to wait for nine hours.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real consideration for people, too. There's a lot of people, you know, that don't have physically, they just don't have the ability to wait for 9 hours. There's people that don't have daycare for their kids to be away for 9 hours. There's people who can't miss work. You're absolutely right. It's fucking voter suppression. 9 hours. Yeah. I mean, if my back was still fucked up the way that it was in 16, I literally would not have been able to stand for 9 hours. I couldn't.
9 hours wouldn't have worked. I couldn't get through it.
Yeah, no. I might have given up, Cecil. Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, Lou Zealand here says, I never had to wait in Chicago, not for a minute. Now, I've had to, every time I've voted, I've had to wait. So I've had to wait sometimes up, you know, before COVID, it was sometimes up to an hour is about how long I would have to wait. But I always voted in a rush time. I would go to work and on my way to leave the house, which I would try to get to the office at 8:30. So I'm getting at the polls at 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's there. So it's a rush time for me. So I understand I'm going to have to wait, right? So that's why I would do it. But yeah, man, it's an unreal level of expectation for people to go and to try to vote. You know, it shouldn't be that hard.
No, it shouldn't
should not. Be something that I have to spend my whole day on. And if I do have to spend my whole day on it, I should damn well get paid for it, right? Yeah. It should be a holiday. And they could do that real easy. All they need is those three things in place, and they make that shit a fuck. That's now it. It's a fucking holiday now.
You know what? I'll trade you Columbus Day. Yeah. I don't fucking need Columbus Day.
Yeah.
You can fucking have one to get one. You can have fucking Columbus Day. I'll take fucking Election Day.
Yeah.
I will say there are more options to vote now than there were many years ago. You can vote in many, many, many states and precincts and districts. You can vote early, which means, you know, open voting. You can vote any day, like at my public library, you could vote anytime you want, 6 days a week. And that's available for 2 weeks leading up to the election. That's where I
went. They do that now, yeah.
And that's wonderful because that does cut down on you can go on a day that's more convenient to you. You can go during hours that are more convenient.
They should have
I would
open
encourage
for a month.
People to vote not on election day.
Yeah.
Vote early if you possibly can. Because you do have many places, not all, admittedly, but many places where that's an opportunity. And that'll cut that line issue down.
Yeah, so. They should make it a month-long process that allows you to come in whenever you want for that month. Doesn't matter who you are. Make it so that there's an opportunity for you to come in and give people a day off for it. I think that would change the entire prospect. And then also allow mail-in voting for whoever wants to do it.
Yeah,
I love mail-in voting. I loved it. It was so good. Man, it just took all the pressure out. I was able to do all the research I needed. I didn't have to wait in line. I didn't have to feel like a fucking guy behind me was, you know, tapping his foot waiting for me to get out, fill out my fucking 50-70 fucking oval thing with all these goddamn judges. It took me over an hour and a half to fill that ballot out with research. Now, I don't know if I had the sheet and if I was doing back and forth, but it's going to take a while. It just made it so much easier for me, and I would love to see more of those. And I did walk up and hand my ballot, didn't hand it in, but I dropped it into a Dropbox, which is what they're saying now. They're saying, don't mail your ballot back, walk it up to a Dropbox. But the great thing about Chicago, at least in Cook County, is I got an email that said, we got your ballot, bro. Like,
that's
so,
cool. Yeah.
So it's not that it's just out there and I don't know what happened to it and I'm all worried about it. Did they get it or whatever? There's not, that doesn't exist. They got my ballot. I got an email confirmation. And my wife got her email confirmation. So the system in our area works it's a great pressure release because you don't have to worry about those things, you know? You're in Chicago, so.
Yeah, I was just saying, like our voting experiences couldn't be more, because I'm so far out into the exurbs.
Yeah.
Cecil, I'm not exaggerating at all. Mine was the size of a regular 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Both sides. There was the Illinois Fair Tax referendum. There was nothing else referendum related. There was like two judges, and that was it. I'm not even exaggerating.
I'm gonna see if I can find the ballot. Let me see.
Like my, I'll send you my ballot in Kendall County, where I'm at, is. I mean, it's pathetic. You're gonna laugh. You are gonna laugh at how, because you have like, you had how many things? Like 50 or so?
I'm gonna show you right now. I'm gonna share my screen.
I can't wait to see this because mine is. It was not 12 things to vote on.
All right, so let me share my screen. See if I can put this over here and it'll share. That's coming up. Okay, Ian, share my screen. So here's my sample ballot. So here we go. So we have the president. Then we have senator. Then we have representative. Then we have another representative. Then we have commissioner of the Water Reclamation District, state's attorney, clerk of the court, judge. I'm just going to start scrolling through these judges.
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you fucking serious? I got to show.
So when I say I have, 40 or 50 judges, I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not lying. Like, I have fucking 40 or 50. I have a lot of fucking judges.
Cecil, I'm going to send this to you in a thing so you can look at the difference here. It's kind of I'll throw it in the private chat.
Put it in private chat and I'll post it. I'll pull it up.
Look at what is it where I live. Just you're going to laugh at me. You're going to laugh at the difference. Why? This is why it took me no time. I live so far away from civilization. It's like a fucking baby ballot.
Yeah. Yeah, there's judicial stuff on there, though.
But there's like two.
I had two full pages that were just that, and then I had a whole page and a half of just judges.
I mean,
so I had all this, and then I had more. So it's like two full ballots. It's two full
half
pages.
Of mine. People were running unopposed.
Yeah,
like there's a bunch of mine on mine that were fucking running unopposed. So I just won't vote for anybody that's running unopposed.
There was some. You could take mine down, Ian. You could take it down.
What do you do when somebody's running unopposed?
It depends on the person. With those judges, it was awesome because a lot of those judges, they're running for just to get reappointed, right? So they've already got the position. Now we're going to see if I'm going to retain that judge. And so most of that is just seeing if I'm going to retain the circuit judge.
Right.
Well, I just look through their record because there's websites out there that can look at their record. And one guy was buddy with a couple of people that were torturing people here in Chicago, and I said, get the fuck out of here.
Crazy.
Get rid of that guy. Get rid of this other guy who's got another person, and one of the ballots, this wasn't for judge, who just said, I don't even need this job. And I was like, well, then you don't get it. Go away. It's literally his campaign thing was, I don't even need this job.
I don't need it,
buddy. Oh, I'm not gonna vote for you then. So I love being able to read and check it out ahead of time. And before I'd fill out the other ballot, but again, you have to. It's so many pages of just okay, I got to fill this out, and then I got to make sure it's right, and it's just
yours is bonkers, dude. Yeah, so many, like I said, so many of mine. If you look like at them,
so yeah,
it was like no additional candidate. There's nobody to vote for. So many people are running unopposed on it. So you can fill in the blank for no candidate selected, but why would I do that? Like, they're not going to win. They're not going to not hire someone for that job. So
right,
I won't.
Right,
if there's nobody on there, I don't even fill anything in. I'm like, you don't. Why would I waste the ink giving you this job? Well, you voted for yourself. You win. I assume you voted for you.
There's been times in the past that I've just not done a lot of research ahead of time and shown up, and there's been a million judges or whatever, and I just look and say, well, I don't know that I'm going to vote for them, or I'll look for the women and just retain them. And sometimes that's a bad call, because when I was going through this last time, there's some terrible judges out there who should not be judges. The law review,
Amy
and,
Coney
like, the
Barrett's
ACLU
one of them.
And other places, all these places are saying this person's literally not qualified. They're not qualified to be a judge, and they're a judge. And so you've got to. So I spent a lot of time. Not paying a lot of attention to anything else except for what I was reading. So yeah,
it's crazy. It's crazy how it's crazy
I'm gonna
how
check
different
if the judges. Somebody asked, am I planning to see if the judges didn't get retained? Yeah, I'm gonna check. I'm gonna go back and check. I will go back and check because I know what my ballot said. So yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, somebody else makes a point. In California, it's all propositions, and some are super confusing. That's true. They'll write the ballot question. Who writes the question? Makes a really big difference. They're supposed to write the question in a nonpartisan explanatory way. That does not always happen. When you have more propositions or referendums on your ballot, that always requires, thankfully there was only one on the ballot this year for us.
The free fair tax was for this time around. The fair tax,
Yeah, I voted for the fair tax. Yeah,
me too.
Of course, I want there to be a progressive and not a flat tax.
Hell yeah! I looked at the brackets, and I don't think I pay any more. So I was like, okay, well, fine, it's great. I don't care. Yeah. We need money. Our state's falling apart.
Right. I thought the same thing. Like, I don't care if I'm going to pay more. I'm willing to pay more.
Yeah.
Like I just generally believe that a progressive tax is fair, and a flat tax is regressive.
Yeah, someone is asking.
We have a flat tax rate.
Yeah, we have a flat tax currently, and basically it's progressive into the more you get, the more they call it a fair tax, but it's not what that was the old flat tax thing that guy who ran for president years ago was planning. This is instead. The more money you make, the more percentage you have to pay. So that's essentially what it is. So, and then for people over $500,000 or something, it was a lot of money. It was getting into it was a big chunk, and so
yeah, it won't pass though. There's no political will for it. It looks like what I was reading. So, yeah. But it's interesting. You gotta spend some time reading that stuff out, man.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tuesday's coming, buddy. You think we're gonna have it? You think we're gonna know who's the winner Tuesday?
I don't think so. Although I was reading an article on 538 today that said that it may look like, because the way things are counted, it may actually appear that Trump is winning states that he won't finally win, because the way they count stuff is they count those ballots that come in the day of, and then they count the other ones afterwards in some states. Right. So in some states, it might look like Biden has lost this state because there's such a big, sharp amount for Trump, but after ballots come in, which is again really bad, because they keep on saying he's made this weird point that if a ballot comes in after election day or gets counted after election day, it shouldn't count. Like, I don't even know what the fuck this is. It's essentially, I was on Ghoul, so you can't. It's like, some weird ass esoteric rule that he only thought up himself. Nobody's ever thought of this ever in the history ever, but he's made some weird proclamation and somehow people think it's a law or something.
Well, because that's the way it works. He's done this his whole 3.5 years. Say it enough until people believe it's true, and then it will become truth. And it's a weird, scary 1984 proposition that we're in right now, and we need to get the fuck out of this world. Well, we can't do another 4 years of this, man.
No,
we cannot
man.
Do another four years of it.
I will say this, though. It's looking as if the Senate is going to flip. And if the Senate flips and the House flips and he's still the president, he's not doing anything.
No.
He's not going to have anything to do. He's just going to be fucked. He's just going to essentially just sit in there and just be angry and have his weird. Well, you think, here's a question. If he gets reelected, does he still have his weird rallies?
Yeah. Yeah, because he loves the jerk-off sessions. He loves them. I know they're campaign rallies, but he's never called them campaign rallies, and I think he loves the attention. He wants to smirk. He wants to gloat. He wants to stand in front of people, like, chanting his fucking name. He wants to stand on the fucking balcony and throw his fucking arm up, man.
Yeah.
That's what that pig wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll do his fucking rallies. He doesn't give a shit. And like, I do agree with you that if the Senate flips, and it probably will, he won't get anything done. But I sort of feel like that's the problem. Like, we need leadership that gets things done.
And there's so many problems right now that need to be fixed. And you need a leader. You need somebody in there. At this point, he's still making fun of masks, even though every time he's asked by a reporter that they say, "Are you keep making fun of masks? Why do you keep on shitting on masks?" And he's like, "I don't do that. I don't ever do that." And then he gets up on stage and he makes fun of masks for a half an hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need a leader who says, "Oh, you know what? The science says the mask actually helps, so we should probably use it. Hey, guys, let's do that."
We need somebody that can be honest even occasionally. Even occasionally. His whole thing, did you see when he was at that rally and they were chanting "lock her up" about Whitmore?
Yeah.
And then he said, and he smirks, this great big shit-eating grin at the crowd, and he lets it happen. He puts his arms out, and he's like, see, I didn't say anything, because if I say anything, they're going to say I cheered you on. I didn't need to cheer you on. I didn't need to cheer you. I didn't need to make you say it. And then that way he can go to the press, and he can say, I didn't say it, but he did. Like, pretending that your body language and that your acquiescence of some, pretending that all of that is not encouragement is lying. And we've always known that, but somehow with this guy, it's different, but nothing is different. You can see through this shit a mile away. It's bonkers.
Yeah, man. It's fucked up. And it's a constant with him. It's just a constant. He can't stop in all of his different, they do the lock him up thing all the time and he eggs it on. He's just, he loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I took the day off after. I took off Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, I might do the same thing.
And we are actually at my work. We've got offices in the Loop, and in Chicago, And we have actually, we started developing a plan in case there's civil unrest on Wednesday. So we have space.
Might be.
Yeah. We have our civil unrest plan so we can continue doing business if the loop shuts down.
I hope there isn't. I hope that there's enough of a group of people in this country that think, okay, yeah, that's enough of that. Let's just move on. And I hope that there's enough of an overwhelming support for Biden so that there is not we just don't go there, but we'll see. I mean, fingers crossed for that. I really hope that's how it turns out and that people are, they just don't care enough to go freak out. But man, the people that love him, they love him. And so there might be some real crazy shit if he loses. Might be really nuts. So,
yep, but that's my worry.
But the good thing is that in places, you know, in some places of this country, you don't have to worry about that because the Trump quotient is low. I'm worried about those places where their Trump quotient is high. What's going to happen there? You know, that's where I'm worried because in Chicago, it's low. But outside of Chicago, you know, far enough away, even in Illinois.
Yeah, but in Chicago, what if Trump wins? Do you think there'll be
Trump a Trump wins?
Do you think shit'll kick off?
Maybe there's a possibility, a good possibility. If Trump wins, I think all across the country, there's going to be massive unrest.
Yeah.
Because I feel like at this point, he's been such a bad leader that people just are dying for a change. And I know that they're going out and voting, but if he still wins somehow, especially if he steals the election, if there's some way that he gets in and he steals the election, it's going to be a real serious unrest.
Yeah, shit's going to happen. Yeah.
It's going to be serious unrest. Yeah. That's 100%. But if Biden wins and there's no real fight from the other side, they can't find a way to, you know, horn their way in. Maybe there's a peaceful transition of power. Fingers crossed.
God, we shouldn't be in that world. Maybe there's a peaceful transition of power.
I know.
See,
man.
So let that be your soundbite for the night. Maybe there will be a peaceful transition of power. Fingers crossed.
I would have never in my life thought that I would be saying that when we did our live stream 4 years ago. I never in my life thought I would be saying that out loud 4 years
Cecil,
ago. I thought Trump was going to be bad, but I did not think it was going to be this bad.
Podcasting wise, this is the fourth election we've done. We've talked about on podcasting. We talked, we talked because we started this podcast with McCain. Making fun of McCain and Palin. I mean, it wasn't this podcast. Yep. It was a different one. In no world have I ever considered the idea that in America we would not have like the loser loses and the winner wins and the loser says, well, shucks. And, you know, they hand over the reins because that's society. That's civilization.
Yeah.
Where this isn't like a coup somewhere in like, you know.
It's crazy. It's insane.
It's insane.
The only thing I was thinking about was when we did the old podcast, how we were both saying, wow, maybe I'll go out and party in the street if Obama wins.
That was right.
Because he was going to be in Chicago.
Wouldn't it be cool to go celebrate? Yeah. Like, woohoo. I'd like to be happy.
People are asking about our old podcast. It's called Everyone's a Critic. It's terrible. It's on our website. You can find a download. You can find all of them. They're all on our website if you dig. I don't know exactly where they're at, so... if you dig though, it's on dissonancepod.com. If you dig around there, but they're real bad. You don't want to listen to them. They're terrible.
We did not know what we were doing.
Yeah, we didn't know.
And there was no
focus. Still don't, but at least we were less comfortable back then. So yeah. that's that going for it. So,
I remember Cecil, I would get genuinely nervous when you'd be like 3, 2, 1, we're on. And I'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
What if someone hears it? Like, it wasn't even live.
It wasn't live and no one was listening.
I know. ridiculous.
All right, so guys, come back on Tuesday. We'll see everybody Tuesday. We're going to be here for several hours. We're going to be recording, talking for several hours. Come back, hang out with us, and chill with us. We're going to have guests on. We're going to be talking to chat. You know, you guys are going to be keeping us abreast of things. We're going to be paying attention to chat almost the whole night because we're going to be paying attention to what you guys have to say to see sort of because you're probably going to be also searching the internet while you're watching us. So more eyes, the better. So come hang out. And Tom and I are going to be in studio together for the first time in 6 months. We're hoping to start around 7:30 Central Time. Depends on what time Tom gets to the studio and how quickly we can get food, because we don't want to eat on camera. So we're going to eat beforehand, and then we're going to join up and, yep, and start broadcasting. But look for us around 7:30 Central. Tom and I are going to be on, and we're going to be on for several hours. So come hang out with us and use us as your election night coverage, because the other stuff's boring. They just touch maps and shit. Who gives a fuck? Come talk
to us. We'll watch them do that for you. What should we drink that night, Cecil? Corona?
We have that knob. We got that knob. Maybe. Who knows, Tom? I don't know where you've been, Lou. I don't know where you've been.
I'm going to stop and pick up a six-pack of Corona just for kicks.
It'll be fun.
I remember we were going to drink Moscow Mules at the last one.
We were going to drink
Moscow Mules. I bought Moscow Mules, and then it didn't seem funny anymore.
It wasn't funny at all. It did not get funny. So, yeah. No. Hopefully they, you know, even if they don't have a full winner that night, maybe it's better than last time when there was a winner. All right, guys. We'll see you guys. We'll see you on Tuesday. Come check us out.
Take care, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Peace.
All right, you guys can head back over to Ian's stream now.
Yeah, Ian's stream.
It's a Twitch thing. I think it's
Ian's got it's Dance Dance really Revolution. Good. I love that stuff.
He
it's
plays
so good. So good.
Among Us.
Don't play anything.
He plays. He does that voice too.
Ian isn't here right now.
He does that voice too. He does that voice. Shit blows up. It's amazing.
Oh my God, what is that?
Monster from Crab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
oh,
we
God.
Did a
mess.
Oh, he no.
Did
the monster
mess.
It was a
horror. Oh my God. That's the worst.